that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be
that old wheel's rolled around once again. It's Saturday morning. It's time for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Pour you a cup. Get your Bible out. Join us, won't you? Coffee with the Wranglers. We'll be right back.
And the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay the prices high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel's
gonna roll around once more. When it does. It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Is gonna roll around once more. When it does. It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And it has rolled around again. Whoo, Saturday morning. And what a beautiful Saturday morning. Boy, the sun is up good. You can tell the days are getting a little longer. I love it. Here it is, Saturday morning, the last Saturday in February. And we got our coffee poured, we got our Bibles open, and we are here at the Radio Ranch microphone coming to you live this 25th day of February, 2012. It is coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, and I'm one of the Wranglers, Richard. Now I got Kyle sitting next to me. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And we got the Ramrod here, too. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Can you believe it's Saturday again?
Yeah, time's flying.
Well, it seems like we were just here, just a week ago.
Yeah.
And then here we are back. So, and we got Kyle back. Kyle had a little trip he went on this last week, and he made it back safe through the snowing and the blowing and the rollover accidents and everything else that he saw on the way home. So,
thank you, Lord.
Yes, thank you, Lord. And Kyle, we'll ask you to open up in prayer this morning, if that's
absolutely
all right.
Oh God, my Heavenly Father, we do come to you this morning. We thank you, first of all, for your blessed Son, who paid the penalty for all of us, died on the cross for us. We ask you to be with us today. Let your Holy Spirit guide us in our conversation. Be with our thoughts and our words. Words are so powerful. We just ask for an indwelling of your power, the Holy Spirit, on not only us, but the listeners. And then we open up the phone lines, the callers. Again, we just thank you for this day, another day, to glorify you. We thank you for your remnant that you seem to hold tightly, not let go. We thank you for your mercy. Yeah, thank you for all your blessings, Lord. the blessings that came on that cross, the blessings that we don't deserve, but you give it to us anyway. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, John, we'll turn it to you this morning. See if you had anything to start with. And I don't know, see, Kyle's got his Bible opened up to somewhere toward the back of the New Testament, but we'll see if you got
maybe
anything.
Maybe I got a dyslexic Bible and I read from right to left.
Well, unless it's upside down. I can see you're over there somewhere to the back. But I am too, so.
Well, all I can say is these are interesting times we're living in.
Amen.
Prophetic times. Boy, if you can't figure out that Christianity is under attack from every angle possible, that we are in the last days, and that those terrors are sticking their heads up, you know, I just keep praying that the long for the day when the Lord gathers them, binds them, and burns them. But as a people, we sure got a long way to go towards repentance before we can expect any kind of deliverance, that's for sure. It's amazing how we keep trying to liberate these countries, and all we're doing is ushering in Muslim Brotherhood and Islam. But I don't know why we'd be surprised.
Well, it's an age-old thing. I think of Paul's writings to the Galatians. He says, "O you foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you?" And that word bewitched can mean maligned, false accusation, false, basically lies. I've always thought of it, and I don't know what the New American Standard puts there for bewitched, but I always just thought of it as some type of sorcery. Well, it really doesn't say that, even though it is a spell, because that's how lies and slander work, you know what I mean, and it works in the small little church bodies that people go to, and it works in the world through the news and the scribes, and it does it. You know, Paul was just kind of shocked how fast they could be turned to another gospel. Not really another gospel, but that's kind of what he called it. You know, and it is shocking sometimes when you see somebody that you knew once knew it all. They knew about baptism. They knew about communion. They knew about, you know, why Jesus died for them. They knew all this stuff, and then all of a sudden they've been bewitched, and
yep,
they don't know what's up from down anymore. And they'll say even comments like, you know, they'll question God. And it's like, what happened to you? I mean, it wasn't that many years ago, you know, we would have been back to back in battle, you know, and it's tough sometimes to see that.
Yeah. Yeah, they're attacking on every front, from crosses representing military burial sites to prayer in schools to prayer in board meetings. It was encouraging. I read an article this week about a little county in North Carolina that decided to defy the courts that said that they can't pray in the name of Jesus before their meetings, and they're still defying them. So praise God, there's still a few men out there that are not willing to bow to Baal.
Yeah. Amen. The old adage that we get from the Old Testament of choose you this day who you will serve.
Yep.
If Baal be God, serve Baal. And so many people say, okay. And they do. They don't realize that they serve that other Jesus. They serve the Jesus or the small g God that they have in their mind of how they think God is. That he's just a loving God, and that's all. That no matter what happens, he loves you. And, you know, he's just a kind, doting old gray-haired grandfather type that just loves you no matter what, and, you know, is just waiting on time to go by a little bit, and then, you know, you'll get to go join him in heaven and play your harp and that type thing. And Peter writes in his second letter, "Be on your guard so that you're not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness." And I think that's just what Kyle's saying. You have those that come in, that understand, have their eyes opened to the truths of who they are, of what you have to do to become a Christian, and that is, you do have to believe. But that's not the end, that's the beginning. And then you do have to repent, for all men have sinned. And then you do have to be baptized by full immersion, like Acts 2:38 says. And we've seen it. Many people that come to that, maybe their whole family. But what happens is, they do what Peter warns about in his second letter. And he writes his letter, he says, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours. He's not writing to Muslims here. He wasn't 2,000 years ago. He's writing to us, to people that, to the churches that he's settled, that to the people that he's been able to convert and bring in. But that's what happens. You have unprincipled men. You have hirelings. You have the wolves in sheep's clothing that come in. And they start preaching these damnable heresies and calling them the oracles of God. And we're warned all through this, especially here in the New Testament, these last few letters toward the end of the New Testament. And that's what they are. These are letters. We have to remember they're letters to the churches then, just like they're letters to the churches now, warning us to beware. It says in 1 Peter 2, "And in their greed they will exploit you with false words." Excuse me. But that is just what they do. And they don't do it just locally, but it's internationally as well. And I think this ties in, John, with just what you're saying too. We say we're out making the world safe for democracy. And really, we're just out making enemies, losing friends and making enemies as fast as we can.
That's spiritual warfare, yep. But, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, that little Jezebel female dog in Rhode Island. Well, now she's got her own blog to instruct youth all around the country on how to fight back and when they're trying to shove Christianity down your throat, you know? And you watch that and you get kind of infuriated, but we know who's in control, so. And then apparently now the ACLU there is suing those flower companies that refuse to deliver flowers to them because they can't do that based on her being an atheist or whatever.
Right.
Good for the owners, though. They just said, go ahead. We don't care, you know.
Yeah, that's what it is. You get one little, one little Jezebel like that, and the ACLU was involved in that from the very beginning. They're the ones that originally brought the suit, and then they went to her and said, "Hey, will you be, party with us in the suit?" And they provide money, and that type thing, and prestige and exposure. So. Oh, well, but their day is coming.
Oh, yeah.
Their day is coming.
Well, you know, it's just another case where they witness against themselves. Whether this girl repents or whatever happens to her in the future, if it just opens up, one more eye out there for the truth, which it might, a lot of times these type of things is what it takes for an individual to wake up.
Yes.
I remember that prayer you guys read. It
wasn't
really
lukewarm at best.
What's that?
It was lukewarm at best.
At best, so.
The only thing it's said Christian-wise was Heavenly Father and Amen. That's it.
Right. So, but anyway, it's like the words of Jesus in John, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. And that is so true. You know, what you guys are talking about is people, they try to play both ends of the systems. They want the best of both worlds, so to speak. And they're really not willing to lose their life. And until you are, you're really not Christ. You know what I mean? Because that day of judgment will come. And if he doesn't stand before the Father and say, this man is innocent, you're going to answer for everything. And if you think your good is going to outweigh your bad, you need to wake up.
Amen.
It just you might only remember your good, but God has it all written down.
Amen. I think were you reading there in Matthew 16?
I'm in Matthew 12, or John 12.
Oh, Matthew 16 talks about that as well, and that's, I think, a mirror verse to that. That discipleship is costly. And Matthew 16:27 says, "For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds." And that should be a sobering thought, that you will get repaid for your deeds. For your good deeds, yes, but also for your bad. And your good cannot outweigh the bad. It just can't. And the deed that you do want to get repaid for is the deed of obeying Acts 2:38. I come back time and time again to Matthew 12, where it says in verse 37, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." And I think that it doesn't footnote it there, but my understanding of that would be by your words and your deeds, I think, would apply there. Not to add anything to the word, but I think that
it harmonizes.
That it does. And, and by our words and our deeds, we will be judged. We will be. Either for good or for bad.
Yep. Well, on a positive note, we seem to be having an overwhelming response to Branson this year.
That's an understatement.
That's been encouraging.
We've got 100 people registered, John, for Branson.
Wow.
We've only got room for 300, and it's just February. We've still got March, April, and May to go.
Yep.
And you know our people. They always rush in at the very end.
And,
so.
And we'll tell them, don't wait till the middle of May to think about it and then send your registration in. We do only have room for 300 people. And we have right about, including us from here, we've well got 100 people registered. And we know that our Volume 2, 2012 Dragon Slayer newsletter entitled The Wages of Sin, we know that's hitting people. This at least yesterday, Friday, because I got about 3 more registrations in just yesterday, and then also a couple. We ask also on this in this newsletter. Let me turn to it. I've got it right here in front of me. On page, it's right before the Branson article, on page 11, that just we ask you to let us know how you would like to continue receiving the newsletter, via mail or email or read it on the website. And we're having people update their, the way they want to receive the newsletter with us as well. But page 12 and 13 of this newsletter explains Branson this year, gives an introduction to it, and it has a registration form. And there's also a registration form on the home page at our website, scripturesforamerica.org. So we do encourage you to, if you do want to come to Branson, to register early. Get this registration form filled out and either get it mailed into us or go to our website and fill it out and get it into us.
Yeah, another encouraging thing is been talking to quite a few people these days, and more just, you know, letting people know that it's repent or perish. You know, whether you realize it or not, we're in the last days, and you need to get your life right with God. That's the most important thing. And they're like, well, I got this and that, you know. And I have to say that some people are waking up to the fact that, you know, these churches have done nothing but appoint teachers of their own liking, wanting to have their ears tickled, not wanting to endure sound doctrine. And they're waking up to that. Now, the interesting thing is, will they find the truth? So I guess that's why there's only going to be a remnant.
I guess so. But it is encouraging, you know, that you gotta beware before you can be aware, right? So,
yep.
So that is encouraging. I got some good news too.
See, you good.
Today, me and Tracy have been married 29 years. That's pretty good news, ain't it?
Oh man!
Yep.
Congratulations!
That's amazing. Congratulations.
Yeah. So hopefully, we'll make it another 29.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, John's the light man on that pole. My wife and I will celebrate 26 years this year. And John, you guys will be 18?
18, yeah.
18 years. So, praise the Lord for that. And if that's not a blessing, especially in this day and age. And, you know, I think these men would agree with me, and we'll put this out to the listeners, that those 18 years that John and his wife have celebrated, and the 26 that my wife and I will, and the 29 that Kyle and Tracy celebrate today, those have not always been just perfectly smooth times.
Yours haven't.
Because a marriage is that way. It's it really is. I think it's just like our Christian life. It's a work in progress.
Yep.
We were reading earlier, you know, we are told to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I know I'm a better husband now than I was 5 years ago. I'm a better husband than I was 10 years ago. Because I can also say in dealing in Christianity, I'm a better Christian than I was 5 or 10 years ago. Because we are doing that, and we are to do that. We are to grow in the grace and knowledge. You know, the more we read our word, the more life experiences we have, the more right decisions and, you know, sometimes wrong decisions that we make, but that we learn from. That's what that is. That's how, you know, we are growing in the grace and knowledge. And
it's amazing the harmony that you have when you have the proper order, you know.
Yes.
I pray on my knees every night, Lord, draw me and my wife closer together as husband and wife, as lovers and as best friends, because that's, you know, that's what's important, is that we're one. You know, God's put us together as one.
Yes. You have to have this. You have to want the same thing. You have to have the same desires.
Yeah.
And, you know, if the two that have become one are still two, it just, it doesn't work.
Well, you know, we all have our directions. You know, as men, we have our scriptures we should read, and sometimes it's way easier to read than obey. I mean, when it tells the man to treat his wife like he would treat himself, those are easy words to read and say.
Mm-hmm.
But you try applying it, you know, and that's what Richard's talking about. You try applying it when you're 20 compared to when you're 50, it's a way bigger battle.
Yes.
Because in the morning when all your buddies are going out fishing or golfing, or not saying you can't go fishing and golfing, I'm saying that you think of yourself. Now, there's other cases where I know some men that were actually better husbands, better Christians when they first got married than they are now. You know, maybe their marriage is dissolved or whatever, but on a whole, it's a learning process for everybody. especially for men, because they are so, and probably because of the days we were born in, more than it would have been many years ago, we were born in a selfish era.
Very much so.
Where everything is me, me, me. And in the groups we grew up in, me and my wife, the men were way worse at it than women. Because the women were raised more like godly women should be raised. Mm-hmm. And the men were self-raised more like, it's all about me, and that's it, you know, period. So it is it's a growth, you know, and like John says, best thing to do is pray every day that you can fit your qualifications. You know, if you're a woman, fit them as a woman. If you're a man, fit them as a man.
Yes.
Yeah, it's interesting. You guys know about this school deal I got into with eight other men, and we were talking about, you know, what a blessing it was, and grateful the Lord chooses the weak and the foolish. But the real miracle, if you think about it, is not only did eight men who were totally different, God put together to achieve his purpose, but their wives had to be behind them through this whole thing for it to work. So to have eight wives that are, you know, essentially Proverbs 31 women, that in itself is a miracle. And you could tell, I was talking to one of the men, and he's like, well, let me tell you something. That didn't happen that easily. I had to work at it. And I've always suspected that he doesn't have the proper order in his home. You know, his wife appears to wear the pants. But that's in today's society, that's pretty amazing quality. I like to read Proverbs 31, you know, description of a worthy woman, at least part of it. An excellent wife who can find for her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. I mean, and it goes on and on, but, boy, just those couple of sentences there are amazing, you know. It's a gift of God.
It is, and they're, what I'm learning every day, and hopefully everybody out there who's married is learning every day, there is power when your home is in order, all the way down to your children. Because if you want to lose prayer power, if you want to lose confidence, if you want to lose just being able to pray to God face to face, more to speak, you know, like you're not ashamed, don't have your house in order. But if you want power, and if you want to be able to pray with more faith, then when your house is in order, all the way from the bottom to the top, and I hope women don't get the wrong idea. I'm talking about men too. You know, they have their head that they need to keep in line with just as much as the woman does, if not more. And when that's in order, there's power.
Yes.
And a peace and a harmony.
Yeah.
Which gives you the power. If you're always fighting with your wife, it's hard to get to the place you need to be spiritually too. So, and the devil works at that. That's why we have to continue to pray on the full armor of God, Ephesians 6, and, you know, all the things that our pastor taught us.
Amen. And you can find that if you're wanting to read about that. You know, you can find that in many places. The end of Ephesians is that way. Ephesians 5, starting with verse 22, it talks about that. If you want to just write those verses down and go back and read it. Ephesians 5, 22 through 33 talks about that. And then Ephesians 6 talks about family relationships. And but it says just as Kyle said, nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself.
Yep,
the wife,
treat her as the weaker vessel.
And the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. And you know, how many times does the Bible use the marriage, the husband and the wife? You know, it talks about the marriage between the husband and the wife, but it ties into, and it even says here, I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. And so you have to look at that. You really have to look at it both ways and understand that when you're in a marriage, that it's symbolic of Christ and the church. It really is. And you know, marriage is certainly under attack as well. And I think that that's one of the reasons why. It's because it is symbolic of Christ and his church.
Yeah, and
why do you think they want gay marriage every stinking state?
No kidding. That's exactly. It's just like the Amalekites. You know, they attack the women and children and the elderly. You know, they go after all the weaker vessels, you know. And that's why it's so important for men to be men, you know, and be willing to lay their life on the line. And I don't mean just their physical life, because I think there's lots of men who have their house out of order that would actually still lay their physical life on the line for their wife.
Sure.
But when I'm talking about your life, you know, as we know it, you know.
Yes. Your day-to-day existence.
Yeah. Your selfish, ungodly, fleshly life. You know, that's where men seem to have, you know, have a big problem. Pride comes in. You know, just basic selfishness comes in, and it prevents them from being the men they're supposed to be. You know, and I'm talking about myself as much as anybody, you know.
Yeah.
That's just
all by design. Our enemies are trying to destroy the husband and wife, families.
Yeah.
It's what they do.
And you know, it's important to talk about it often, because it's something, this isn't something that we only see once in a while. This is something that we go home to every day.
Yes.
We can work on it every minute of every day. You know, so some people, oh, here they go, or here goes Kyle on this, or, you know. No, this is our life. You know, this is, when I wake up in the morning, my wife's the first person I see. When I go to bed at night, she's the last person. I mean, that's how easy it is for me to change all this part of at least my life. I can't change things that I did 10 years ago that maybe still affect me today. But this I can change every minute of every day of my life.
Amen. Well, why don't we open up the phone lines? 307-745-5913. Got a song for you. And like I try to say when we play these songs, listen to the words. I think you'll like it.
Let me call on that other line, Richard, here in about 5 minutes.
All right, we'll do it. Hope you enjoy this song. We'll be right back. And we will open the phone lines up, 307-745-5913, this 25th day of February. Ooh, it's still early in the morning. Beautiful day here at the Radio Ranch. We'll be right back.
Crushing the wind.
you think of that, Kyle?
I think it's good. It's a little, is that a little Scottish or Irish? Or what kind of theme is that behind that? Do you know? Because it sounds a little bit different than I'm used to.
Yeah, it's a little, I don't know. Maybe people out there know what music is and they can tell you. I like it. I like the words, hail the law. Jesus said, do not think that I came to abolish the law, but fulfill it. And he certainly fulfilled it.
He did.
And continues to.
I'm reading here in Proverbs 19:16. He that keepeth the commandment keepeth his own soul, but he that despiseth his ways shall die. And you know, so many times you look at those Proverbs or Psalms or wherever it is that says keep thy commandments, you think of the old commandments. But it's not just talking about the old commandments, it's talking about the new covenant too.
Yes.
You know, in Paul's teachings, he wrote to Timothy, these things I write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. So, you know, there's Paul writing to Timothy, and he's telling him, this, I'm writing this so you know how to behave. You know, now he, you know, they already had the writings of Moses. They already had the Ten Commandments and everything goes along with them. You know, but there's a better understanding.
An expansion.
Yeah, in the
yes,
New Covenant.
I like that,
yeah.
A better understanding. It didn't do away with it. You know, when they asked Jesus, what are the greatest commandments? He said, love God and love your neighbor. It didn't do away with any of the other ones.
Right.
It just, you know, was kind of a summary. And if you look at all the commandments, you know, those two, if we can do those two greatest ones, it allows us to obey the rest of them.
It
talking
does.
About the old Big Ten. But I like what you said here. You know, Paul writes to those that are in Philippi, in the letter of Paul to the Philippians. In 2, he says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. And I see those as it's not that they're new commandments. They're just further understanding of the commandments that have always been there.
They are. They're just more detailed.
Right, right. This is how you're to be. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. That would include your wife. I certainly think that would. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Now, again, he's writing to the church here. So I don't know that he's really saying, you know, put the Muslims above yourself and look out for the interest of the Muslims. So let's have a little discernment when we read the word, right?
Absolutely.
But he says, do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. Boy, now that speaks to me this morning. You know?
Yeah.
Even though Jesus Christ was God, you know, he didn't try to present it as something that we could understand. You know? He sure presented it. You know, that, hey, if you've seen, you know, he who has seen me has seen the Father. The Father gave me his name. And God, Father, it's in that name I present these to you. I mean, he sure talked about it time and time again. But sometimes it is a thing that's hard to grasp. But he was humble. He understood humility. He came with a servant's heart. And that's how we are to be. That's how we are to be. It says, you go on, it says, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Even death on a cross, which was a curse. And of course, we know that fulfills the prophecy, I believe it is from Isaiah, that says that, you know, he became a curse for us. And in 14, this is something that I need to have printed out and on my wall at home as well as here. It says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. And I think we would all do well to apply that to our lives.
Yeah.
You know, again, and I talk, we're kind of talking to husbands here, talking about this. Do we do this? I don't always. I'll confess my sin before my brethren and ask for God to forgive me. Do all things without grumbling or disputing?
No, we're children of our fathers, that's for sure. You know, and they murmured from the get-go, and we have the same the tendencies that would lead us back there. I like to read a little bit here in what book am I in? 2 Thessalonians. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the traditions which ye have received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. You know, we tend to think that if you follow the golden rule, that, you know, you don't have to draw lines. You don't have to make discernment decisions. And, you know, this is the same guy, you know, the Apostle Paul that wrote this, you know, that wrote many of these other scriptures that we've read. And he's telling you, even though you treat people like you want to be treated, there's a point where you have to make a line in the sand, you know, withdraw from every brother.
Yes.
That walketh disorderly. Disorderly is a huge thing in the church. Pastor Peter's messages at last year's Branson was designed around disunity. Disorderly. Now he changed some of that because it came, you know, it became a kind of a autobiography in some of his messages.
Yes.
But you know more than anybody, Richard, that what he had you get off the shelves and what he was studying on was unity and disunity. You know, and there's a reason for that, and that was he seeing a problem in the body.
Yes.
I mean,
unity is a good thing, but not at any cost.
No.
It has its place. It has its proper place.
You know, we all think purging, well, only God purges. You know, and that is true. God purges. But does that mean we sit on our hands and do nothing? Because
no.
The whole Bible, especially, you know, in Paul's teachings here, he's telling you how to behave. You know, this is... I think he even used that word here that I read across. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. And, you know, that's right after he tells you to withdraw from somebody who is behaving disorderly. It's all about behavior. You know, he didn't say, you know, don't do nothing, God will take care of them. I mean, we all have our jobs to do in our homes, in our communities, and in our churches. You know, whatever branch of the vine you're in, you know, we have to behave ourselves according to the scriptures.
Amen. Amen. Well, we got a caller here. I'm sorry, John. Let me let's take this caller and we'll come right back to you. Oh, sorry about that. Well, we're back to you, John.
I was just going to say, praise the Lord, that, you know, God does prune the vine, and but he also causes the remnant to grow, continues to open up the eyes and ears of our people all across this world, and
yes,
we continue to be blessed by so many, you know, because we've stayed the course. You know, Dad always stayed the course, and we're staying the course of baptism for the remission of sins and truth over anything else, no matter what the consequences, and God's blessed us for that.
Amen.
That's what we have to continue to do, stay the course.
Amen. Amen.
And there will be casualties, you know, and some of them hurt. But, you know, if you're asking for the Holy Spirit to guide and direct,
Absolutely.
Some are thinned out.
Absolutely. I mentioned that Thursday night a little bit. We, you know, over the last week or two, we've had several calls in, requests for counseling and guidance and instruction and of people that have had turmoil in their life, have had maybe in-laws come against them, or, you know, we call them outlaws, or family members, or people that they work with. You know, here these people are just trying to be what we would call good Christians, trying to be at peace, just trying to walk the line and to, you know, teach their children the ways of God and abstain from idols and things like that. And have had family members, some of them claiming to be Christians and, you know, even claiming to be pastors and teachers, have really come against them. And
yeah, I wonder why. Isn't that what the Bible says?
Exactly.
Your family will turn against you.
It is. And that's the counsel, guidance that we try to share, is that, you know, you have to look at it from the viewpoint of the Bible. And not, you know, our human nature says, what do you mean? God, I'm walking the straight and narrow. I'm not out drinking and carousing, and I'm doing right, and I've got all this coming against me. Read the Word.
Depart from me. I do not know you. You know, that's
right. Right.
That's what they don't realize.
The Word. The Word says that the world hated him, and if we follow him, it'll hate you too.
Yep.
So when these things come upon you, that's how we have to look at it. We have to look at it with the viewpoint from the Bible that says that very thing, that there will
come this great joy.
That's right. There will be pruning.
Persecuted.
Yes, there will be. And so you just stay the course. You continue to let your righteousness save you and deliver you from the evil. And the only righteousness we have is that we find in Christ. And when we are clothed with him, we put on his righteousness. And it tells us in Proverbs that will save us. That will deliver us from the evil of the day. And we've sure seen that.
Greater is he that is for us than those that are against us.
Absolutely.
That's what we've got to stand on.
Absolutely. And we've seen it in our personal lives, I think. We've seen it here at the ministry. You know, how many times over the years did the lies come forward? You know,
yep.
People lying about the pastor and even us, since we've stepped into the leadership role. And the lies and the gossip, and you just stay the course. You just stay the course. You continue. We sure try to do that. We continue on trying to have the mind of Christ and let the storms come. Let the waves beat against the house. Let the wind blow. But when the foundation is built on Christ, the house stands.
Yep. We all fall short of the glory of God, but, you know, we're sure doing the best we can, asking for the Holy Spirit to guide and direct. And, you know, I appreciate some of the emails I get from people, too, because a lot of them are heartfelt, and they're there to try to improve and to help build the ministry, not to tear down or not to build their own agendas. And, you know, there's genuine people out there who love this ministry, who loved our pastor, and more importantly, who love Jesus Christ and are willing to make whatever sacrifice they need to choose you this day who they will serve, you know?
Amen. Well, guys, we're down to about 10 minutes. We'll open the phone lines up, 307-745-5913. Again, we've got about 10 minutes. If somebody wants to call in and has something they want to share with us, we do encourage you, again, if you want to come to Branson, it's going to be June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, same place that we've had it the last several years. The hotel is completely renovated. They have all the rooms ready. We only have room for 300. We've got almost 100 registered, right at 100 now. So still got a couple of months, but I would not wait until May. We do have in here, too, we need your registrations in by May 18th at the very latest. But if you're interested in coming, get your newsletter, read through it, fill that application out, drop it back in the mail to us, or go to our website, scripturesforamerica.org, and right on the front you can see a link for a Branson registration. You can type it right in there, and it'll email me that registration right here at the office, and we'll get you registered.
It's a great time for fellowship. If you have children, you know, it's a great time to let them be with other children of like-minded parents. And
yeah, so many people say that they long for it, you know, all year long, because that's the one time, some of them, the only time that they get to have that fellowship with Christian brothers and sisters of like mind.
Yes.
And husbands should remember, even though you could probably live in the hills as a hermit, sometimes your wives have more of a trouble doing that. So it's nice for them to be able to get together and have somebody to visit with, too.
Yes. I know my children look forward to it. They have friends, people that live there in Missouri that come out, friends from Michigan, from Arkansas, from different parts of the country, that's about the only time that they get to see them. And they might write a letter or two during the year and stay in touch. But it is. It's a good time of fellowship. And, you know, we sure learned that from the pastor that's what we want to have there. Our theme this year is defending the faith. And like John started off this Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wrangler program, Christianity is under attack from every aspect, both here in the country and all over the world. And so that's our theme this year, is defending the faith. But we know that it will also be a memorial time of remembrance of our pastor for his lifetime of service to the remnant and also to the King of Kings. So we do encourage you, if you think you can make it, to get that registration in. We know, and we want to encourage you and let you know, there will be solid biblical teaching there. And we'll have some good gospel singing as well. And, of course, great time, like Kyle said, great time and good time for fellowship. Good Christian fellowship with like-minded believers. And, you know, we'll put it out just like the pastor used to. If you're not a Christian, don't even bother sending the registration in. If you want to become a Christian and you need to be baptized, then by all means, fill this out. You can call us here at the office. The phone number and all the contact information is in that newsletter. But it is a gathering for Christians, or for those that truly want to become Christians.
Yeah, and let the snakes know that we've prayed against you, so
yes.
Come. It's not only our judgment, it's going to be God's judgment.
It is. It is.
Because we found our enemies. We pray for the Holy Spirit to guide and direct, to lead as we move forward. So,
and don't
let that be a warning to the Antichrist enemies.
Amen. And don't think you're going to come and use that Yahooey Fooey, unholy, ungodly Antichrist name either.
Yep, don't bother coming.
The name of the Son of God is Jesus Christ. That's the name, the only name that salvation is in, and that is the name that we use there. And so we're not going to have any Yahooey Fooey names at all. So just as simple as that. If you use that name, you're either a deceiver or you're deceived, one or the other. And that's between you and God. But don't bring it. Don't bring it there. Don't think you're going to. Well, John, we thank you for joining us. We're just about out of time here. And, Kyle, you have anything to leave us with today?
No.
Okay. You've got communion tomorrow.
I do. I should probably get my thoughts together on that, shouldn't I?
That would work. John, we'll see you tomorrow. I know you've got all the boys have some games and stuff today. We hope you have a great day. We hope all of you out there do. I'd like to leave you with a verse from 1 Thessalonians. We've kind of been talking about Paul's writings. And Paul, again, is writing to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. And he says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus."
Amen.
So amen.
In everything, let us give thanks today. We invite you to church tomorrow. 10 a.m. Mountain Time, come to our website. You can join us for church, scripturesforamerica.org. Well, again, guys,
thanks, man,
for joining us. We'll see you at
church. Happy anniversary, Kyle.
Yep, thanks a lot.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, stay high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out.
Holy Bible, in the Old Testament, we read how Israel repeatedly betrayed their God and worshipped instead idols of their own device. In reality, this was rejecting the rule of God in their lives and setting themselves up in His place. Did such arrogant, self-serving rebellion end with the Old Testament? Or do we see so-called Christians sunk deeply in such sin today? And what about ourselves? Find out the whole truth in the book Baal Worship in America by Pastor Peter J. Peters, available for a $10 offering U.S. funds. Write to Scriptures for America. America Worldwide, Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535, USA. Again, that's a $10 offering U.S. funds for the book Baal Worship in America from Scriptures for America Worldwide, Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535, USA. Thank you.